Yitam yat deyokama swayam apar sushandi ho. Yitam yat vidyate jetas chakrapana vidushchaya. O Brahmanas, teachers, as iron attracted by a magnetic stone moves automatically toward the magnet, my consciousness, having been changed by his will, is attracted by Lord Vishnu, who carries a disc in his hand. Thus, I have no independence. Purport. For iron to be attracted by a magnet is natural. Similarly, for all living entities to be attracted toward Krishna is natural. And therefore, the Lord's real name is Krishna, meaning he who attracts everyone and everything. The typical examples of such attraction are found in Vrindavan, where everything and everyone is attracted by Krishna. The elderly persons like Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi, the friends like Sridhama, Sudama, and the other cowherd boys, the gopis like Srimati Radharani and her associates, and even the birds, beasts, cows, and calves are attracted. The flowers and fruits in the gardens are attracted, the waves of the Jamuna are attracted, and the land and sky, trees, plants, animals, and all other living beings are attracted by Krishna. This is the natural situation of everything in Vrindavan. Just contrary to the affairs of Vrindavan is the material world, where no one is attracted by Krishna and everyone is attracted by Maya. This is the difference between the spiritual and material worlds. Hiranyakashipu, who was in the material world, was attracted by women and money, whereas Prahlad Maharaj, being in his natural position, was attracted by Krishna. In replying to Hiranyakashipu's question about why Prahlad Maharaj had a deviant view, Prahlad said that his view was not deviant, though the natural position of everyone is to be attracted by Krishna. Hiranyakashipu found this view deviant, Prahlad said, because of being unnaturally unattractive by Krishna. Hiranyakashipu therefore needed purification. As soon as one is purified of material contamination, he is again attracted by Krishna. Sarva Bhadhi Vinirmuktam Tat Pratyayam Nirmalam. In the material world, everyone is contaminated by the dirt of sense gratification and is acting according to different designations, sometimes as a human being, sometimes a beast, sometimes a demigod or tree, and so on. One must be cleansed of all these designations, then one will be naturally attracted to Krishna. The bhakti process purifies the living entity of all unnatural attractions. When one is purified, he is attracted by Krishna and begins to serve Krishna instead of serving Maya. This is his natural position. A devotee is attracted by Krishna, whereas a non-devotee, being contaminated by the dirt and material enjoyment, is not. This is confirmed by the word in Bhagavad Gita. Yesham Tvantakatam Patam Shananam Punyakarmana Te Tvantakamoha Nirmukta Bhajante Ma Buddha Buddha. One must be freed from all the sinful dirt of material existence. Everyone in this material world is contaminated by material desire, unless one is free from all material desire, anyabhilasha dushunya, one cannot be attracted by Krishna.
Om Yama Chirayana of a magnet, the iron is automatically attracted. That's simply the nature of magnets and of iron and magnetic force. The iron will naturally be attracted. The living entity in this pure position will naturally be attracted to Krishna. That's his healthy condition. That's exactly. In a healthy condition, we like to take something sweet and we taste it to be sweet. It's only in the jaundiced state that we think, oh, this is bitter, and we don't like it. So in material consciousness, one is unnaturally unattractive to Krishna. And in pure consciousness, naturally attracted. Prabhupada cites as the archetypical example the residents of Vrindavan. As soon as Krishna would play his flute, all the living beings would be attracted. The gopis would be attracted, the coward boys would be attracted, the calves would be drinking milk from the udders of their mothers, would just be stunned and stop to hear the sound of the flute. The cows would perk up their ears and tears would flow from their eyes. Peacocks would start dancing. The juvenile would flow even in the opposite direction. The living beings like the moving living beings like the cows and calves would be stunned, and the non-moving living beings like the storms would start to melt in ecstasy. So everyone and everything in the body is spontaneously attracted to Krishna. They don't undergo austerities to be attracted. They don't have to discipline their senses or control their minds to be attracted. They're spontaneously attracted. But Prahlad Maharaj also, being in pure consciousness, was spontaneously attracted to Krishna. He didn't have to do anything, practically speaking, just by the causeless mercy of Narayana. That nature was awakened within him. And he was spontaneously so much attracted to Krishna that he didn't care what his father thought, what his teachers thought, what anyone thought. There's some place in the same section of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's described that as the force of gravity attracts, so the Prahlad Maharaj was attracted by Krishna Brahma, by the Krishna Prana. It's here in Bombay, you have the ocean and the tides are affected by the moon. So the landmark was affected by the presence of Krishna. In astrology, people say, I'm being affected by Saturn, or I'm being affected by Jupiter, or I'm being affected by this planet. But Prahlad Maharaj was under the influence of the Krishna planet. Therefore, he was spontaneously singing and dancing. He said sometimes he would cry, sometimes he would laugh, sometimes he would dance, not by practice, but spontaneously. This is the perfect condition of the living entity. And when covered by the three modes of material nature, one is spontaneously attracted to mind. No one has to train, no one has to present a persuasive argument why Maya is attractive. Everyone is automatically attracted, especially by women and money. If you think about it, everyone's working hard to get money. And they don't stop to think, now, what is the benefit of this money? Why should I work so hard for this money? It's just spontaneous. Money is the, where is money? Where is money? Similarly, women, no one has to train young men how to be attracted by women. Automatically, the attraction is there on account of the material body and material consciousness. So, Hiranyakashipu is the archetype of that. He's simply attracted, simply interested in women and there's not really great pleasure in these things. But one goes on and on trying to imagine that there's enjoyment there. And so the big womanizers like Hiranyakashipu, they're after one woman, then another woman, then another woman, then another woman. And what is it? It's the same business, whether this woman or that woman. But one is imagining that this will be very different. It's like people who travel a lot, tourists, they imagine this place is going to be very special, that place is going to be very special. They're really all the same. You know, you see some mountains, you see some trees, you see some buildings, you see people dressed in different costumes, you eat some different food. But it's the same business. It's the same business. Whether you go to Rome, or you go to Paris, or you go to Singapore, or Dubai, what is it? It's the same business. You sleep in this hotel, or you sleep in that hotel. You visit the ocean, or you visit the desert. Put up the restaurant with the shopping. Doing the same thing again and again. And by imagination, oh, it's so wonderful. But it's not wonderful, it's mostly disappointing, actually. Because nothing is new, nothing is different, nothing is all that spectacular. It's the same business again and again. This destination is the same as that destination. Sex with this woman is the same as sex with that woman. It's the same business. So, but the materialists are spontaneously attracted by illusion. Mohad asad, mohad, sheed vasad rah. Mohad sheed vasad. By the power of illusion, they're grasping at that which is not real, in the sense that it's not permanent. Happiness means permanent happiness, not happiness that comes and goes. In a dream you get some happiness, but in a few moments it's gone. It's not substantial. So, Yaranchu Bhakti Kaunti Amitai Shri Yamitai Bhutan, being that comes from the contact of the senses with their sense objects is of a similar nature. It has a beginning, it has an end. And so an intelligent person doesn't go after that. But in Kali Yuga especially, people aren't intelligent. They're superficial intelligent, they have advanced degrees, they clear eyes, and they speculate, and they write very books and do serious investigations. Maybe they make some discoveries. But when it comes to actually that which matters, they're for the most part in ignorance. They don't know who they are. They don't know where they've come from. They don't know where they're going. They don't have a clear picture of the purpose of life. They just invent some purpose. I want to accomplish this. I want to accomplish that. But ultimately, what is the value of that accomplishment? It's simply arbitrarily assigned. This is valuable, that's valuable. But if, as their theories tell us, we're nothing more than just combinations of material elements bubbling away according to some chemical interactions, why is this or that or the other thing valuable? Nothing is valuable. What's so valuable about chemicals? And finally, if life is nothing more than chemical bubbling, what's so valuable about life? And therefore, etam jushtavya nashtatmano kabur kayaha prabhavanti ubhukramanha. Those who are excessively materialistic and who adhere to this reductionistic view of life become busy in nasty activities. Activities that ultimately bring destruction and which act against people's better interests. And they think that they're making an advanced civilization, or they make propaganda about how they're spreading democracy or spreading prosperity or spreading this or that. But they're spreading nonsense. Dissatisfaction and frustration. Because everything is based on matter in their view. And therefore it has no substantial well-being. Yes. What is that? Their intelligence extends no further than this. But the purpose of life is to enjoy and satisfy our senses. And they put that in nice language as realizing your full potential or being the most you can be, or different platitudes. But finally it comes to being busy satisfying the senses. That was Hiranyakashipu's business. And Prahlad's business is also sense gratification, but gratifying the senses of Krishna. This is the business of the person of pure consciousness. Vesham Tantakatam Bhakam Karanam Karanam. Okay, I'll stop here and see the questions.
You were mentioning about the modes, how the modes drag our attraction towards Maya. So, on one hand, the mode is like preventing us from becoming Krishna conscious. But the way to get out of the modes is to become Krishna conscious.
Before there needs to be some process. person is in disease life, sitting in some process to get out of the disease. But for the jaundiced person, the process is to take purifamine and so on. And it tastes a little bitter, but at the end it becomes sweet. So the process is to purify the senses. Undercome the end of sinful activities, which for the materialists are very valuable. Drinking, smoking, hunting, the taking is very wonderful. But the devotee gives up these things, gambling, intoxicants, meeting, illicit sex, and becomes free from illusion and duality. When he's freed from illusion and duality, he actually engages very seriously in the service of the Lord. Some process must be there. If you want to go from A to B, there must be a process. To reach from this destination to that, you have to drive or take a plane or train. To go from this chemical state to that chemical state, you have to do some sort of engineering process. Everything needs a process. Purify water, you have to, there has to be a process. So to purify consciousness also, there must be a process. And that's prescribed in the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Okay, go talk to me.
You said there's a process for getting up consciousness purified. So while staying among devotees, everyone comes from different. While staying amongst devotees, everyone comes from different backgrounds, different material conditionings, different motivations and inspirations. Different motivations, they have their own set of inspirations. So very often we have to make some adjustments or sacrifices while staying amongst the devotees.
But you have to make adjustments staying among anyone.
Yeah, so
and even if you stay by yourself, you have to make some adjustments.
Maharaj, actually, when we make such sacrifices or adjustments, there's a feeling that if I make a sacrifice, I must be recognized for this sacrifice, or someone should appreciate it. So it's like he makes some sacrifice and in turn accepting some kind of appreciation, expecting that someone also must.
Krishna will appreciate, that's all. And when we approach bona fide spiritual master, he may appreciate. If Krishna is pleased or the spiritual master is pleased, others may or may not be pleased. Our business is not to please the public. Our business is to please Krishna.
Krishna Maharaj, please accept my apologies. As we stay in Devotees Association, over the period of time we become very familiar with the process and devotees. There is a very tendency to take it them grantedly and tendency of fault finding keep on increasing. So fault finding. So how to overcome that tendency?
Find fault with yourself. Mind has a tendency to find faults, and if you look for it yourself, you'll find a large enough field. And that will be beneficial. Finding faults with others doesn't help us very much. And finding our own faults is very helpful.
When we introspect ourselves more and more, there is.
I can't hear you.
When we introspect ourselves, there's a tendency that we become discouraged or we feel that we are very good for nothing.
That's good. That's the mood of the Acharyas that I'm good for nothing. But anyway, let me do something. The materialist thinks he's the greatest thing on earth. He's the greatest. And the Krishna consciousness movement is very fortunate to have someone like him. So qualified, so capable. He thinks in that way. And that blocks his advancement. But a person who thinks that he's unqualified has at least the entry qualification. Allotted by Ayamdhatva. And then Bhagavad-gita describes what are the 14 items of knowledge. The first one on the list is Manita, to be free from false prestige. Manita, and humility is the beginning of knowledge. One shouldn't become discouraged. Anyway, there may be a big project to purify my consciousness. But let me start. And Krishna will help me. It's a big project. And just like you have a big project, you have to level some field, believe. But if you have a big bulldozer, then the project is achievable. So the holy name is there to save us from so many material contaminations. But we should take it. Nature shows the Maya and Ashiva Rahadi. Harina Mahama Shulavaniva, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I brought the antidote for Maya. Nature shows the Maya and Ashiva. Harina Mahama Shulavaniva, now take it.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Dandavatana. Maharaj, my question is, we are practicing sadhakas on the path of spiritual journey.
You're fighting against the fans, so you have to speak loudly. Okay.
Maharaj, we as a practicing sadhakas on the path of spiritual journey, at many times, or sometimes, we receive some reciprocation from Krishna. And many times, later, in our life, that reciprocation becomes more demanding, that why Krishna is not reciprocating. We demand some reciprocation from Krishna to happen. So we are not in a grateful mood that what reciprocation we are receiving from Krishna by the mercy of our spiritual master. Instead of that, we demand more. So Maharaj, is this a correct attitude, or we should not demand?
Seems like you already know.
How we can be grateful to our spiritual master so that we can...
You can think of where you were and where you are. If you think of what our ignorant position is before coming in touch with the devotees, and then we think of our good fortune in coming in touch with the holy name of Krishna, with the science of Krishna consciousness, with the principles of spiritual purification. I'm not sure what we should do that.
Usually it's
kind of bi-unidirectional microphones, which are the wrong kind. they're the kind that you can only speak into from one direction or it doesn't pick you up.
Yes, sir.
So you have to do it that way, and then it hears you.
I think Krishna.
Yeah, you're good, sir. Speak that way.
Hare Krishna. What were your initial experience when you joined Krishna consciousness that made you form believe that this is a right path?
Oh,
can you share some of the experience?
Well, I wrote a book I tell about that. It's not very available in India, but the ebook version will come out and it will be available. It's called Vanity Karma. And in there I tell a little bit about that. I don't know what people want me to pinpoint one experience or something. What's your experience?
My experience is whatever I thought before going to a temple, whatever there are some questions.
Hello. Yeah.
There are some questions in my mind before going to a temple for a lecture, we call it a prayer. The preacher automatically answers that without even asking the question. This is my experience with Krishna consciousness.
Yours is as good as mine. Something else?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
You're good.
Hello Pranam. Actually, we hear so many things from different places, like visit temples. We come here for programs daily, every week. And also we attend lectures. And when we hear all those things, it seems very good. But when we practically begin to follow all those things, there are many hindrances, like many obstacles. So how do we take care of these obstacles when actually practicing spirituality?
One by one.
How do we ensure that?
You're too good. You can hold the rule for me.
Actually, I was asking how do we avoid obstacles in practicing spirituality practically? Like suppose when it comes to chanting or doing seva and all. So, for example, when it is kirtans or when it is doing seva, the attitude or the mood is something different. But when it is into chanting or reading books, the attitude is like different. Like it does not come from within. So, how do we take care of that?
No, because we're not in the perfect condition. It's not automatic. The sages, Naimisharanya said, we never get tired of hearing this nectar at every step. And we sit down and we read a few pages and we think, because we're not in our natural position. Just as the jaundiced person takes sugar candy to be bitter, because it's not in his natural position. So for the person who's not spontaneously attracted to Krishna, there's a program of prescribed activities. Actually, prescribed activities and the spontaneous activities are the same. But the beginning devotee performs them because they're prescribed. And the advanced devotee performs them because they're nectar. In the beginning, anything you want to learn, it starts with more or less a mechanical process, unless you're one of those gifted people. Some people, they've made the progress in their previous life. They already know music, practically speaking, because in their previous lives they have that gift. But most people, it's practice. You know, it's very scales, you practice, da 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 It's just mechanical. But after following that mechanical process for some time, you become expert. And then you can play this way, that way, and the other way. You can make your own composition, so you can play music very nicely. But it begins with a mechanical process. Riding a bicycle in the beginning is a mechanical process. You have to learn how to keep your balance and all of that. Probably you fall a few times. But then once you become good at it, it becomes a pleasure. You can ride here, you can ride there. So the beginning stage of Krishna consciousness is practice. And I may like it or I may not like it, but let me practice. Some things I will like. Everyone likes taking prasad. And other things may require more. Or I may do it because I've been asked or ordered. Or because I know that it will help me. And some things we may naturally take to, others not. And some things, therefore, we may do more. Someone's more attracted to the deity worship. Someone's more attracted to chanting. Someone's more attracted to study. Someone's more attracted. So we can give more attention to what naturally attracts us, but we shouldn't neglect the other parts also.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my apologies. Maharaj, my question is, like, in the base, like, we devotees, we stay together. So many times, you know, our thoughts are not in line with, generally, like, many times thought clashes among the devotees.
Thought clashes?
Clashes, like, for certain things. And in the base, we also see that there are few devotees who have got very high enthusiasm towards the service, various services. And there are certain devotees who have got low enthusiasm. And so my question is, sometimes, you know, our thought process clashes, and there are certain devotees where we see that, you know, I don't have that much motivation. Like, I'm lacking motivation in my life. And as a working professional, like, we work and Monday to Friday or Monday to Saturday, and then weekend is coming. So we go to temple, but that enthusiasm is not, it gives us for a, you know, quite a few number of days, but again enthusiasm goes down. So how to tackle this, because in practicality at times it's very difficult.
Yeah, well, that's the nature of the thing. In the beginning, we don't have steady determination, steady enthusiasm. In the early days of the Krishna consciousness movement in the West, the devotees would come and they would join the ashram. And they would find it a little difficult. And they would think that maybe I should leave and go do something else. But then they would think, well, Sunday's coming, let me stay for the feast. Then after that, they'd be good again till like Wednesday or Thursday, maybe till Friday. And again, they might think of leaving, but again, then they would think, well, let me stay for the feast. That's natural, that enthusiasm comes and goes. Sometimes one becomes discouraged, someone becomes hopeless, or someone becomes just a little dull. But that's the meaning of, that's why practice is there, that's why we're trained. Because in the beginning stage it goes up and down. Just like under medical treatment, sometimes it goes up, sometimes it goes down. But the doctor encourages the patient, you just keep taking the pills, you keep doing the exercises, you keep sticking to the diet, and you'll see. In the beginning, the patient is less enthusiastic. I don't want to do the exercises. I do them in 2 days. That's called patient non-compliance. It's a big problem in medicine. Where the patient's told to take pills for 5 days, and he takes them for 3 days. But if he has confidence in the doctor and the medical regime, then he takes it anyway. I may not like it, or I may not be very enthusiastic. But since I want to achieve the objective, let me do it. And that's practice. In Zhubu, we have just over the wall from us, there's a gymnasium where early in the morning, we're doing Mangala Arati and all that. And these young fellows come and they work out. And I'm sure some days they feel better about it, some days they feel worse about it. Some days they may feel that they're gradually approaching Superman. And other days they may feel like they're not really getting anywhere. But if they stick to it, then they make progress in their useless physical vision. So we have to follow a similar method. And those who are less enthusiastic, therefore the association is good, because on some days, on my own, I'll feel less enthusiastic. But if there are others around me, then their enthusiasm may carry me through.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Enthusiasm can also be infectious.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Please accept my humble obeisances. Maharaj, my question is, I feel very happy when I am among the devotees. The atmosphere is very positive when I am among the devotees. But for all the 24 hours, we cannot be among the devotees because we are working people. We have to go to the office area.
Well, that's up to you, by the way.
Yes, I do agree.
If there's no law in the universe that everybody has to go to the office for so many hours.
But how to deal with the non-devotees and make the atmosphere positive? And especially the atheist people, see, you have to face them every day in the office, but still you have to make the atmosphere positive. And they don't believe in Krishna at all. So what is the way to make that atmosphere positive among non-devotees?
Give them some prasadam and smile.
And what if they don't accept prasadam also?
Then just smile. With the non-devotees, we may mix, but not mix intimately. To get our work done and mix with them. But not that it has to be done with what's the word? Friction and resentment. But just sort of superficial. After it's worked, it's not more than that. You know the story about the monkey and the crocodile? You know the story that the monkey was wanting to cross the river, but there was no way to cross, but a crocodile volunteered that you can get on my back and I'll take you. So the monkey agreed, but halfway across, the crocodile began submerging, and he said that, I'm going to eat you. We're going to have a love feast downstairs. My wife and I are going to eat your heart out and enjoy. So the monkey was intelligent. He said, you should have told me. I don't know why you didn't tell me before. you really should have told me because I left my heart on the shore. So then what are you going to do?
But it's not too late. You can take me back and then I can get my heart and then you and your wife can have that feast. The crocodile thought, well, that's a good idea. So he brought the monkey back to the shore and the monkey jumped off. And So the moral of the story is, when you go out with the crocodiles, leave your heart at home.
That you had mentioned about the variety that the material world offers in terms of visiting this place, seeing this woman or that woman. So the mind is enamored by that variety.
Yeah. Sankalpa Prabhuvan Kamanas. It's Prajahati Yadar Kamanas Sarvapartha. These are all more or less mental concoctions. You've heard the name of Marilyn Monroe, big famous American sex idol, really, actress. I don't know who the Indian counterpart would be, but anyway, every man's imagination, especially back in the 1950s. Geez. And someplace she was quoted, she said, I'm a disappointment. Because men expect that I'm going to be very different from any other woman. She said, but I have the same parts, the same equipment. It's the same thing. Some men are disappointed because they expect, you know, fireworks and rockets going off. And but I'm just a woman like all the rest of them. And it's only by imagination. Marilyn Monroe! But finally, breasts are breasts and, you know, all the rest of it. It's all the same thing. There's a place in America called Yosemite National Park. It's one of the great national parks in the western part of America. And one of the big attractions there, it has a lot of volcanic underpinnings, you know, beneath the earth there's a lot of volcanic activity. And one of the big attractions there is a geyser. Not the geysers. Do you know what a geyser is? They're natural spouts of water that come up at a particular time. They spout high into the air and you've seen, now you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I don't know what they call them in India. Yeah.
Natural springs.
Natural?
Natural springs.
No, not a natural spring. A spring flows. A geyser gushes up.
Natural fountain.
A natural fountain, yeah. It's not constant, but at a certain time, you know, it just so there's one geyser at this national park called Old Faithful. It's called Old Faithful because since so many years it's been doing its thing at predictable times. You know, there's like a lodge nearby, like a little lodge, like a hotel. And inside it's posted. If you go anytime during the day, they'll say, next, I forget what they call it, like a van, will be at 4:35 or something. You know, they'll spend all the time, three or four times, however many times a day, all faithful will scout. And so there's a ring around the geyser. The geyser is just like a hole in the ground. And then there's like a circular area of cement. And then outside of that, there's a railing. And outside of that, there are benches all around the circle. And as the time approaches, then people gather. People come from the lodge, and people come from other parts of the park to see Old Faithful. And so at the appointed time, a little steam comes out. And first you see like a little puff of steam. And then maybe another little puff of steam. And then a little of this steaming water comes up into the air and dies down. Comes up into the air, dies down. Pretty soon, it's up. It's gushing up. And it goes, I don't know, 5 or 8 feet into the air. And, you know, as it's starting to go up, you know, all these expectations. And then after, like, a few minutes, then it goes. Diminishes. And there's a couple little more puffs of steam. And people look at one another. Like, is there going to be more? And after a few minutes, it becomes clear that there's not going to be more. And then people kind of shrug their shoulders and go away. Or they go away and they talk about it or something. But for the most part, it's a disappointment. You know, they come all this way from the other side of the country or some distant place, spending money, and maybe stayed overnight in the lodge so that in the morning they could get up and see Old Faithful. And then it's just, you know, a little steam and a little water and a few minutes and it's over. And, you know, what was it that they spent all that money for and had such expectations of? You know, what did they expect? So sex is like that. A little steam, a little fluid. It's over. But people are expecting the world. It's just, and therefore they're disappointed. They're expecting incredible fulfillment, incredible satisfaction, unlimited joy, just such. And at the end, it's like, what was that? And then a few minutes of exertion and a few moans and groans, and the whole thing's over. So, but they're trying it this way, they're trying it that way, you know, some probably sometimes naked, sometimes half naked, sometimes this way, sometimes that way. But it's the same thing. Therefore, chewing the chewed. You know, sometimes I'll chew it from this side, sometimes I'll chew it from that side. It's already been chewed, there's not really any juice in it. What's the difference? So where is the big deal? It's in the mind. We're imagining such a wonderful thing. Or even we're imagining this woman is so beautiful. The demigods are looking at the same woman and thinking. But Mala Maya Dhrutya, by the strong force of Maya, our mental concoctions appear to us to be very substantial.
Yes, if we're in the schedule, we should be in the schedule. I think we can start. Thank you.
Let us express our gratitude to Maharaj.